Support for this KQED podcast comes from ACT, presenting Let There Be Love, a moving and comic drama about how an aging father and equally headstrong daughter find one another. Opens April 8th at the Geary Theater, act-sf.org.
Good morning. I'm Queenie Kim, and this is the California Report.
You're out of order. We are conducting a meeting. You're out of order.
That was the president of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors responding to protesters who stormed a meeting yesterday. They were part of a nationwide Black Lives Matter action against police brutality. In Oakland, protesters tried to shut down a major freeway. And in downtown Los Angeles, they stopped trains from entering one of the city's main metro stations during the evening rush hour. This year, a new state law has allowed undocumented immigrants to get driver's licenses despite their immigration status. But turns out that actually getting one isn't always so easy. Tomorrow, a Senate subcommittee will review how the law, AB 60, is doing in its first 90 days. The California Report's LA Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas brings us this preview.
Just over 200,000 undocumented immigrants are now driving legal in California, thanks to AB 60. Another 300,000 are in some stage of the application process. DMV spokeswoman Jessica Gonzalez says the flood of new applicants has slowed since January. DMV offices are no longer staying open later, and wait times are returning to normal.
We're just hoping people take a better look at studying and preparing for the test so they don't have to keep coming back in, because that definitely takes time from our staff.
AB 60 applicants appear to be passing the written and driving test at about the same or better rates as others, but some of them are hitting roadblocks with paperwork, says Apollonio Morales. He's political director of the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles.
We know that in Central America and in Mexico and certain parts where folks are more indigenous, proving their identity is a little bit more difficult because they don't have a record of when they were born, but they do have a record of where they live. So it takes time to kind of put all these documents together to be able to prove who you are.
The DMV is also not accepting passports from many African and Asian countries that fail to meet its guidelines for identity documents, but it says it will work with applicants from any country who can provide other types of ID. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Los Angeles.
Homeless shelters are an essential service, but they're not always considered the safest of places. And because many of them are co-ed, homeless women say they often don't feel safe in them. KPCC's Adrian Florido brings us this report on how one shelter in Los Angeles is addressing the problem.
On a recent evening, a small crowd gathered for a memorial at the edge of Hollenbeck Park Lake in East L.A. A year ago, the body of Lorenza Arellano, a 36-year-old homeless woman, was found floating here. Police said she died of a drug overdose.
If anybody would like to leave a flower for Lorenza in the lake, you can.
Leading this memorial is Raquel Roman. She runs a men's shelter that's been in East L.A. for years. She says Lorenza Arellano often ate there.
But we didn't have a women's shelter, so she was living at Hollenbeck Park.
Advocates say sleeping on the streets is often riskier for women than it is for men. But they say many women feel unsafe in mixed gender shelters, so they choose the street, like Arellano did.
Her tragic death was a shock to all of us, and I was really compelled to say, we need to provide services for women in our community that are in the same situation.
So last December, the Guadalupe Homeless Project Women's Shelter opened its doors. 15 beds in a space that once housed an after-school program. There are at least two other women's shelters in L.A., but advocates say there need to be more. One of the first residents at the Guadalupe shelter, a slight 63-year-old named Vicky, explains why. Vicky didn't want to give her last name.
I spent from 2008 until 2014 sleeping in buses.
The reason?
Number one, rape. Nobody's going to rape me on a bus. The safest place for a woman to be.
Way safer than on the street, she says. Even safer than in many shelters, where men and women mix, fights break out, drugs, theft, harassment, that sort of thing. Advocates say the lack of women's-only shelters is an issue that cities throughout California are grappling with, not just Los Angeles. Amy Turk of the Downtown Women's Center says in part that's because much of the money earmarked for homeless services is being funneled to groups like children and veterans. Homeless women are largely overlooked.
We hardly ever see any funding that's geared solely towards unaccompanied women who are experiencing homelessness.
The new shelter in East LA is unique because it targets older women. Most of the women at the shelter are in their 50s and 60s. The oldest is 80. She pushes a walker and wraps her head in a scarf. She's in the U.S. illegally. She declined an interview, but shelter director Raquel Roman told me a bit about her.
She doesn't have any family. She can't work. She's not going to qualify for any mainstream benefits. So we're right now pretty much all she has.
While some women at the shelter have found work and are trying to find permanent housing, other women are having a tougher time, like a 59-year-old I'll call Sandra. She asked that we not use her real name. Sandra sets out on foot every morning to look for work, but she has prediabetes and other medical problems that slow her down a bit.
Things should fall into place because I'm doing what the doctor tell me to do. I want to lose my weight. Still working on that.
In the meantime, she's trying to maintain some sense of normalcy. On Sundays, she rides the bus to her church, where she sings in a gospel choir.
Hear my cry, hear my call, oh my heart.
Her choir mates don't know she's homeless. She says she doesn't plan to be for much longer. For the California Report, I'm Adrian Florido.
And finally, the drought isn't going to ruin California's tax day. That's because a water shortage won't affect the state's overall economy or its tax coffers. According to the nonpartisan Legislative Analyst's Office, the largest water-guzzling industry, agriculture, only makes up about 2% of the state's economy and just 3 to 4% of California's workforce. The report does warn that if the drought persists in the long term, it could contribute to higher food prices and hit home construction. And that's the California Report for Wednesday, April 15th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Queenie Kim. This is the California Report.
Support for the California Report comes from Barracuda Networks, innovators of network security and data protection solutions designed to thwart cyber threats and data loss for businesses of all sizes. Learn more at barracuda.com/KQED. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.